Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, tonight I believe it will be a blessed show. But first, just be blessed by this song. Just know that you are God's treasure. God bless you.
From the day I was born,
everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, again, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, tonight, we have a topic, but I believe this show is just deeper than actually having a topic for it. Tonight, our topic is When Men Stand Up, Boys Sit Down. But tonight on Dirty Church Radio, I want to do a little something different tonight. I want to actually begin the show with prayer for the city of Trenton. And we understand there's a lot of wickedness, there's a lot of death taking place in our city, in Trenton, New Jersey. There are a lot of broken hearts. Mothers' hearts are broken. Brothers' hearts are broken. Sisters, aunties, uncles, nephews, nieces, friends. And I just believe that I believe prayer changes people, and people change things. And tonight, really, whoever is on here tonight, when it comes on the show, whether they agree with prayer or not, that's not the thing. Doesn't even matter to me tonight. But before this conversation or this show goes any further, I asked my brother, Apostle Louis Young, to actually pray for the city of Trenton, New Jersey. And just so much going on out here right now. And I believe the city is in need of prayer, not just prayer, hiding behind prayer, but I believe let's begin with prayer so we can start moving in action towards all of this wickedness that is surrounding us and invading our lives and destroying young people's lives. It seems like a lot of things now, when it comes to death, it's no do-overs. And it seems like our city, people are playing with people's lives like they're playing a video game. But you can't put a quarter in and get another chance. Once it's over, it's over. And there are people right now hurting. This city is sick. This city is diseased. This city is in pain. This city needs to be healed. So Apostle Louis Young, man, just do what you do, man, as far as prayer. Let's pray for this city, man, and surrounding cities alike, man.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, tonight, God, we come, we put everything about this show tonight on pause, and we come before you, God, through the auspices of prayer on tonight. God, we pray right now for the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Lord, this prayer tonight is personal because this is my hometown. And God, I have relatives, I have friends, I have loved ones in this town. And Lord, hatred, malice, killing is running rampant in this city. And not just this city, but the city of Camden, the city of Philadelphia, the city of Newark, all of the surrounding cities. This country, period, Lord, is run amok. It's just gone astray. But Trenton, New Jersey, God, there's so much killing, so much disarray and disorder in this city. And God, I curse now the spirit of death. I curse now the spirit of violence. I curse now the spirit of murder. And God, I bind these spirits right now. And I speak now a spirit of peace and togetherness and oneness to come over this city. Lord, you said in your word that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then you would hear their prayers and then you would also heal the land. God, this land needs healing. So, God, this is a man. I'm a man. You know I'm your man. I'm your mouthpiece, God. I speak on your behalf every chance I get. I'm stopping now everything and asking you to look on the city of Trenton right now, God. Please, God. We don't need another murder. You have our attention. You have our full attention. God, I pray right now for the leaders of this city, the spiritual leaders of this city, the natural leaders of this city. I lift up our Mayor Tony Mack right now, God. I lift up the chief of police, Lord. I most of all, God, I pray for oneness with the spiritual leaders of this city. God, let them realize, God, that they have to come out of the four walls of their churches. Lord, let them see that they have to come out of their comfort zone, the cushioned pews and the cushioned pulpits and the cushioned seats that's in the pulpit. Let them come out of their offices, God. Let them come out of their nice churches and realize, God, that they need to hit the streets of Trenton. We come against fear right now, God. Fear is not a place that this city needs to see. Fear is not a thing that this city needs to be dealing with. We need men, God, to stand up and take their rightful place in this city. God, help us, God. Give us a mind to do whatever we got to do to come against the violence in this city. Come against the malice and the hatred that's in this city. We come against gang warfare right now in the name of Jesus. God, I speak peace right now over this city. I speak peace. I speak togetherness. I speak oneness. Satan, we demand and decree right now that you would loose your grip, loose your hold that you have over this city. I speak peace right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I speak togetherness right now in the name of Jesus. No more killing. No more unnecessary death. I speak love. I speak peace right now in the name of Jesus. Cover my loved ones, God. Cover all of the people in this city. No more unnecessary death. I come against gun violence. I come against knife violence. I come against all matter of violence right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace right now. Lord, let the warriors in this city, the prayer warriors, the intercessors, let them get a unrest in their spirit until they decide to get up out of their seat of do nothing and get on the path of righteousness to do something, to say, Lord, what can I do to be effective in this city that's so violent? My God, Trenton is so small, but because of the city being so small, the violence is bringing the media attention to the city. And God, I pray, God, that the same media attention that's coming to the city because of the violence, I hope they record the oneness and the togetherness that's going to come in this city. I speak it right now. I speak and decree and declare that a spirit of oneness comes over this city. No more violence. I curse violence. I curse murder. I bind violence. I bind murder right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace over this city. I speak peace over this region in the name of Jesus. I speak peace right now in the city of Camden. I speak peace right now in the city of Philadelphia. I speak peace right now in the city of Newark. Every city in this country, I speak peace over it right now. I speak peace in Los Angeles, Compton. I speak peace right now in Detroit. I speak peace right now in Chicago in the name of Jesus. God, I know you hear my prayers. You never not answer my prayers. So, God, I'm thanking you, God, right now for my prayers being answered. Not another death. Not another killing. Not another murder. Not another senseless death will happen in this city. I decree and declare that it is so. Knowing that it's done right now, I cover all the churches right now. I pray for every leader, every pastor, every bishop, every apostle right now in the name of Jesus. Stir their minds, God. Let them know, God, that it's time to lay down your titles, lay down your positions, and come together and stop this violence in this city. I decree and declare it being so right now in the name of Jesus. God, I know you're going to do it. God, I pray that you dispatch angels right now. Dispatch angels in this city, God, in the name of Jesus. God, not another death, not another senseless death will happen in this city. I decree and declare it right now, and let this prayer be heard through the airwaves. Let it be heard through the airwaves. God, I believe that it's done. I believe that you have heard me, and I believe you're going to answer my prayers. God, I decree and declare that it's done, believing and knowing that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Yes, Lord.
Wow.
Yes, Lord.
Well, listen, all the brothers that's on the line, sister that's on the line, right now I just want to thank everyone that's on the line that called in, and I want to actually thank the ones that are listening. I know I am the host of the show, but tonight it ain't even really about hosts being a host of the show and all that type of stuff. Tonight is a night where I pray that men and women will stand up, and if you got ideas, solutions, if this can be a form of beginning of some type of unity, or to be able to just put a word of wisdom that whomever might hear it, that it can just spark something in them to actually get up from doing nothing, to begin something. And I truly believe that it doesn't have to start with the masses. It can just begin with you reaching one young brother's life or one young sister's life at a time. And I think it's just so important. Just to speak last night, even my neighbor, I was on a blog with our brother, Senefa, he had a blog, you know, going on Facebook, and he was, you know, just talking about, you know, different things within the city, all the, you know, different things that are happening. And as we were speaking, I'm sitting home, man, with my family. Yeah, I'm a father. I got all daughters, and my wife, she's sitting next to me. And the next thing you know, man, I'm outside, man. I'm in the house, and I hear someone screaming outside. Yo, right next to my step, man, my neighbor, was laying there stabbed, died right there. This was just last night, you know, and it was like right at my door, man, like right next to my house, on my street.
My God.
You know what I'm saying? And it's serious, man. It's serious. It's a lot of broken hearts in this city right now, man. Different mothers are losing their children, man, by the hour. And my brother Senefa, I look at him as a man of wisdom. I actually, you know, tonight he's like actually a guest host on the show tonight, and I'm on the show, man. But listen, I don't know how this conversation is even going to begin tonight, but whoever is on this line right now, if you got something to say, it's an open discussion. Tonight is not an actual night of debate and arguing who has the best statement or anything like that. Tonight is a night we need solutions. We need help. This is a cry for help, and it's needed. And that's all I'm going to say at this time right here, man. So, matter of fact, my brother Senefa, if he's on the line, or whoever, just
yeah,
talk,
I'm
man.
Yeah, I'm on the line. It's a sad situation, and right now, I think there's a meeting at Trenton Central High School. I don't know if you guys were aware of it, but I think the city called another emergency meeting. And the sad part of it is, I think you got a brother on hold or mute.
Hold on.
Yeah. It's John. It's a friend of mine.
No, he's on the line. He can talk. I think it's if you call from a 954. Yeah, 954 number. Yeah,
yes.
You're on the
okay.
line.
Okay. Yeah. What's up, Jennifer?
Okay. Hey, John. And so there is a meeting today, another meeting, and it's good that the minds are coming together. But they've been meeting. People have been meeting for a couple of years now, and the situations have not changed. And I posted on my page, when men stand up, boys sit down, for a reason, because it's a reality. And right now, I mean, the youth that are in the street, look at the ages of them. They're dying at 20, 19. And what I'm going to say tonight may rub some people the wrong way. You know what I mean? Because you can't get to the bottom of or the fix of a situation unless you address the situation. There's a lot of men in Trent. There's a lot of men in Trent. But they've taken a different position in the city. They've taken the high road. It's safe. And so at this point, brother, they have to come out. Unfortunately, I'm not in the city. And as a matter of fact, John is on the line. John and I have been talking for the last 4 months trying to establish a plan to bring to Trenton to try and address some of the situation. But, you know, you have people come in and but they have to leave. The people in Trenton have to change the city of Trenton. But here's what you're dealing with. Trenton right now is a mess. There's a pastor, I'm not going to call the name out, but there's a pastor that I've been working with. We've been trying it the last couple of days, very seriously trying to find some solutions. So this pastor was calling elected officials and different organizations in the city, and she got a complete runaround. And in one sense, the Department of Public Safety, the person who was over Department of Public Safety, told the pastor that they had not heard anything about Trent because they're not in Trent. That office that governs New Jersey is not in Trent. And said, oh, well, we heard about Camden. Here's what has to happen, man. And hopefully this radio show will start to be the groundwork for it. What has to happen is it has to become a national issue. And the only way, Trenton is not big enough for it to be a national issue right now, because they look at it as only 24 deaths. Camden has 74 or 75 right now. And then there's other cities that have more than Trenton. And
wait,
so
gotta,
until...
Hold on, sir.
Until those cities are, the Camden-Trenton coalition is built between the urban cities in New Jersey, because what happens when you do that, it sheds a different light on Governor Christie. It says, okay, look, instead of having 24 bodies of young men laying, you know, in the ground, under your watch these last 2 years, we put under 700 kids in the ground, because that's what about the numbers are throughout New Jersey. And then it looks a little bit different, and then it becomes a national issue, and he has to make a difference. So that if we're talking about a local, making a local difference, we can march and go up and down the street and knock on his door, and he hasn't come out yet, so I don't think he will at that point. It has to become a national issue. And so that should be the goal from here. So if you have pastor friends and have friends in different areas in different cities in New Jersey, it's time to pull them together and put a coalition together to address the issue with Christie from that point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, I mean, you're absolutely right about, you know, Trenton is small. But the one point I was going to make is that, and you made one of the points I was going to make, the size of Trenton and the amount of deaths is actually equal to the size of Camden and the amount of deaths.
Right.
So it's basically equal. So if,
right,
like, Camden, Newark, Jersey City, you know, the major black urban metropolitan areas in New Jersey, Atlantic City, you know, if they come together and do a coalition, like you said, that would be, you know, a stronger input on a national level. And for the people who are listening, man, we have councilwomen, councilmen, we have senators, you know, all the people that we put in office, regardless of what you think of them or what your politics are, you are still their constituents, and you still, they still have to listen to you. And I know the election is over, but still, in 2 years, there's going to be another one for senators and things of that nature, congressmen and senators. There's going to be another one, okay? And the way that you speak is through your vote. You know, we voted them in by either not voting, in which I would suspect most of it that has happened, we voted them in by not voting, or not listening to their issues that they're putting across.
Right. You know,
yeah.
Even one of the things, man, and I'm going to be honest with you, one of the most powerful things that we have is, you know, a lot of times we place our faith in God and we'll pray fervently, man, and we do nothing behind the prayer.
Didn't I say that to you earlier?
Yeah.
Prayer without works is dead.
Right. Well, we pray and we pray. And the work, I mean, never anything comes out of it. So at this point, you know, where do we go from here? You start to ask. And what men are willing to stand up? What men in the city? Because here's the reality of it. The reality of it is that when a man goes off to war, he goes off to war with the understanding that he may not be coming back. And chances are many of them make up their mind that, you know, hey, they kiss their wives and their kids and they go off and they may not come back. Well, you're fighting the same type of battle in the city. But if you never... If you're not willing to die for what you believe and what you think is right for your children, if you got little children running around the city, and if you're not willing to lay your life on the line to protect them, then nothing's going to happen, because that's where we're at right now. It's a war, and the city's under siege. And so, but the difference between when I said that when men stand up, boys sit down, the boys are really willing to die. That's why they're laying down in the street, man. And the thing is, men, we don't have to die. All we have to do is show some presence, man. We can't march down the street on Thursday and tell them we're coming for a month. We're going to march from this point to that point and then expect them that's going to shut things down. No, that's not going to shut it down. You got to get out there in the street with them, man, and spend some time with them brothers, man. Now, I ain't say be no fool and just go out there and get yourself killed, you know, but the energy that men have to put into this has to be, you know, 5-6 of y'all, 5-6 men. I'm in Georgia, man. If I could, if I had the resources to come up there, I would come up there and do it physically. Maybe we can figure that out. But a coalition is going to have to be built, man, to bring some national attention to the situation, because it's genocide, democide, as a matter of fact, when you look at it from that perspective, because the government not participating is funding it by them not participating, they are quietly funding it. You know, it's not happening in their neighborhoods. It's not happening in their communities. When you do the research on what's going on in New Jersey, you look at East Orange, both of the Oranges, the Patterson, all of the urban areas, man, that's where we're dying at. That's where we're dying. And if the children die off, if the young men die off, then what happens next? Who else who runs that legacy? We've got women, and I'm going to say this, man. We've got, you know, the pastors. I had a pastor tell me the other day to step off because I didn't fit the mold and I wasn't using enough scripture for him. But yet we have women doing the work of the men. There's more women out there in the street talking to them young men than it is men.
Sure.
That's a problem. That's a problem. And so when men finally stand up, like the brother said, he opened his door and the brother died right there. By the way, Jermaine, that was a very good friend of mine's son. You know, I've lost 3 young men this year to the streets of Trenton, New Jersey, man. 3 that I personally know. That one was a relative and 2 were friends of mine that were sons, you know. And so now it's reached a point where, you know, John and I were talking, we've got to do something, bro.
Well, if I could just interject something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you fellas on tonight. I believe personally men need to be represented in these houses. Before a brother can go out and call himself resurrecting his position on the street, he need to resurrect his position at home. And if one of the main reasons why you don't see a lot of male presence on the street, especially when there's certain things going on in the street like killing, murders, and the such as what's going on in this city, because they're not present at home. So why be hypocritical? You know, we're sitting on the radio tonight saying men need to man up at home first. Because see, all this stuff starts at the home. If there's a male presence in the house, then by right you can demand a male presence on the street. But you can't demand nothing on the street that's not happening at home. So a lot of these brothers that's out here doing what they're doing, killing, murdering, it's because they don't have no kind of guidance, or they don't have an example that they can mimic, and that's what the problem is, man. You know, for the last 20 years, well, I'm going to say for the last 30 years, the role of the man has pretty much died in the home. Because the unfortunately, especially in and I'm concerned about the black community because I'm a black man.
Right.
In the black community, you have almost an 85% percentile rate of homeless, fatherless homes. It's not that high. It's not even that high with Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, or white Caucasian. Why it got to be 85% with our race of folks? And it might be higher than that now. But the last time a census was done, it was 85% of the urban homes in the black community were fatherless. They had no male presence in the home. So my thing is, we gotta and for the brothers that's you know, we got some brothers on the phone tonight. I'm proud to say that I'm one. I know Jermaine is one. I know Senefa is one. We're the minority. Let's just keep it 100. And we gotta change that before we can start talking about. And it's sad that people are dying. But man, listen. If we really want to change this thing, we gotta change the perception of the black man. We gotta change our position and our role. We gotta become examples in our homes first.
That's true. That's true.
That's where it starts. The Bible says charity begins at home. So we it's only but so much a demand we're going to be able to put on a brother that don't even have his identity straight at home. How are you going to put a demand on him to come out to the streets when he don't even have authority and respect at home?
Well, you know, today is I'm glad we keeping it 100, man, because you know I shoot from the hip anyway. If I go open the door, if I go and this is not in any way bashing anybody, and what I say tonight, I am not, and I want you to understand, it said in love, I am not bashing anybody. I got time for that later. But if I go to one of Trenton's biggest churches on Sunday morning, they're full of men. They're full of men. If I go down Ulubala's or Cabaret at night, they're full of men. If I go to a sporting event in Trenton, it's full of men. Trenton has men. Now, the problem with it is the perception of what their role in the city is. A lot of them, and like you said, a lot of them don't have their stuff right at home, but a lot of them, a lot of them are participating in indirectly in the activity. You understand what I'm saying? Part of them are indirectly participating in the activity. And whoever moving, but that's really noisy. But so you know, what do you do at that point? How do you reach those guys? See, the numbers, when you say when men need leaders, it's not a matter of them not having their way around. When Louis Farrakhan called for a million man march, do you know half of those guys were not in their homes, but they showed up because they realized or they assumed that the cause was greater than their differences at home. They knew. See, we don't have a common cause right now, man. Only time we get a common cause is when it gets close to our house. Trenton doesn't see the common cause, man, in trying to fight something and what to stand up. You got half of the city down at City Hall fighting Mayor Mack to try to get him thrown out. You got the other half running behind people who are – the city is divided. It's divided with people who want credit for doing something or bringing something to the city. And the kids are getting picked off, man. They're getting picked off one at a time, and I don't fault them. And let me say this, and I want to say it on air. I do not fault those children or those young men for being the way that they are. Actually, I appreciate how they are. I don't condone it. Listen, let me tell you something, man. These young men have accounting systems. Listen for a minute. They have accounting systems. They have purchasers. They have salesmen. They have their own security. They have their own ranking government. They have leaders that they listen to, right? The only problem with their organization is the product they sell and the people they're shooting at. They're shooting at the wrong people. They're selling the poison to our community, which is the wrong product. Now, what needs to happen is somebody has to, which is what John and I were talking about, going in there and giving them another way to express themselves like that. They have the makings of Walmart right there. Those young men are doing the same thing. It's no different. They're doing nothing no different than what Al Capone did 50 years ago. You don't have an organized system like that without some organization, and the problem is they're a little bit more organized than city and state government. That's why they can't stop them. And so the only people that can stop them are the men that can redirect that energy, man. It's not a matter of having your house in order. It's a matter of, listen, man, I come from the street. There was a time when in my, you know, I ain't been like this all the time. I've been with my wife now 15 years, but I was with my daughter's mother up there. I was one of those guys that was absent from the home because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how to live, you know, in that situation. So now what do we do? That's what I'm saying to you now. We've got to go back to the street. These guys don't want to hear John 3:16. They don't want to hear a soapbox preacher on the corner preaching to them because they're going to walk past you. They want to hear somebody talk their language. Get out there and tell them, hey, man, you know it's a little bit different when that bullet hits your house, you know. They want real situations, man.
Well, let me ask this. This is the question I want to ask. Who better to reach me than my father?
No. I'm not saying you ain't wrong. I'm saying you 100% right.
No. I'm not saying. Just hear this out. All right. If I use my son for an example, because that's my son, I know him.
Mm-hmm.
If my son decided that he wanted to go out and gang bang and do the stuff that these young kids is doing,
mm-hmm.
First of all, he automatically knows, because he knows me, that's not gonna fly.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I let somebody beat his brains out, I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm not saying that literally. I'm just saying.
Right.
Because right. He has been around me and has had an established relationship with me. I truly believe that before he decided to do anything of that magnitude, he's going to come and he's going to talk to me about it. The point I'm trying to bring up is this, all right? Thank God for Louis Farrakhan. Thank God for the Million Man March. But a lot of them brothers that went to that Million Man March, they went to that Million Man March, they got amped up, they got charged up, and came back home and did absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Even in their own homes, they did absolutely nothing. My point is this. And you brought up the one of the churches in Trenton. We ain't got to name no names. If you know you got a church and you got a high percentage of men going to your church, which is rare in these days and times. But if you know you have a high percentage of men in your church, you as a leader should make sure that the men in your church are being accountable. Don't just come in there and preach them a pie-in-the-sky message, but make sure that your men in your church are being accountable, and make sure they're being accountable at home first.
Right.
See, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. If you know you got responsible, a church that has responsible men will not have to tell the men to go out in the street and compel these brothers to do better. They would do it automatically. But the problem is these brothers going to these churches, going to get the emotions and ego stroked, and then going back, and if they're going home to a family, what are they doing?
They're doing the same thing the Million Man March did. Right. So let me ask you this, Lewis, Apostle Young. The houses and I hear what you're saying, because that definitely has to start. It has to start. That's a must. So we in agreement with that. Now, we have households that don't have men in them, but they have women in them.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are involved in the same thing. Now what?
Now, we need to gather up all the brothers. And at this point, what I agree with now with you is that at this point it's so desperate now, we don't even have time to decipher through the brothers and see which one is doing this and which one is doing that.
That's right.
Because it's so desperate now, man, to where it's like desperate times calls for desperate measures.
We just need
some brothers to show up. But if you show up to do something.
Right.
If you ain't showing up to do something, you need to stay on home.
Let me address something real quick.
I wanted to say something real quick, right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Far as if a man has been fatherless his whole life, a lot of times, right there, there is a mistrust when it comes to men anyway, or
right,
anyone an authoritative figure. So the key is, like, I mean, that's something where wisdom is going to have to actually be used, because
exactly,
now you got a lot of young men who don't trust at all. So when a man comes in their present, immediately they have a certain perception of you that they're refusing to let you in. What are you up to?
Yep.
What is,
yeah,
you know what,
right,
I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Are you trying to befriend me? Like, what's the reason? Or are you going to stay for a while and then leave me the way my dad did? You know what I'm saying? Or I never,
right,
seen him. So it's bigger.
What's that noise?
I don't know. That's somebody that's on the line.
Okay.
I don't know
go
who
ahead.
It is. But, and I was just saying, and if you got fathers who don't know how to be fathers and sons who don't know how to be sons because they never had a father, that's a problem right there.
The thing about coming from a single parent home and things like that, fortunately, I was one of them. And it took, like Jennifer said earlier, I wasn't out there like he was, but I was out there, you know, doing my thing pretty much all over the country. But one thing I can address is that we had, which they don't have now, we had men in the city, you know, the Archie Dents, Simon Witherspoons, Tubby Blackwell, you know, all those men, those were my fathers.
What about six of them?
Yeah, those were my father, and Senator, you know all of them.
Yeah,
because we've dealt with all of them.
Right.
Those men were my fathers, and those were the people I looked up to and I idolized. Although I did not have a father in the house, I did get away and doing a lot of things. But as I got older and realized some of the things I did, you know, and like Senator said, I wasn't always like I am now. But the lessons that was taught to me by men
reaching the kids,
that was in the city at that
kids
time, where are they now? You know, honestly, I'm not going back to Trenton, and I love Miami too much. Senator loves Georgia too much. You know, but I believe if men were in Trenton who had our same mindset, instead of looking for praise and saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and, you know, come support me, come support, you know, come do my thing, instead of, you know, saying, hey, this is for the city. You know, this is not, you know.
So the question is, right, but the question is,
yes.
Okay, there's the men are missing.
Yes.
And all that's there is the woman. Now, as a matter, here's my, right now, it's a desperate time. It's the final hour. It's the fourth quarter. With 4 minutes left. Now, what do we tell these people that are on the line right now? What's the word that we have to get out? You know what I thought about today? And I posted it on my page. And I wanted people to see this. And what we have to realize and understand what this is about. There are gun shows that go on. There's hundreds of them. There's hundreds of gun shows that go on across this country every day. And we're not the ones buying the guns. You can't find a gun show that happened in Trenton. You can't find one in North Camden, nowhere like that. But they're selling thousands and thousands of guns, man. And they're hitting our streets. Why are they making it to our streets and we're not the ones buying? Where are we getting them from? Where are all these guns coming from? Because let me tell you something, man. What we're dealing with is a genocidal effort. So now, what do you tell the woman? You tell her, listen, just like you clean your house in springtime, you clean every part of it, tonight, tomorrow morning when you get up, or Saturday morning when you get up and your kid takes off and he goes outside to do his business or whatever it is that he does, start spring cleaning your house. You search every closet, every crevice. Go in his room, go under his bed, between his bed, in his closet, in his pants pockets, and everything that's in that house. And you find the drugs, the money, the guns, and you get them out of your house. Because you can't tell me that a parent don't have the right to go through and get stuff out of their house that don't belong in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it comes, this is what the final hour is. Yeah, so if you want to save your city and there's no man in your house, clean your house. Clean your house. Go search. Search everywhere. If there's loose boarding in the floor, pull it up. Look in there. Because I was creative when I was a kid. I could hide some stuff. So you go upstairs in the attic, in every room in your house, in every closet in your house, in every drawer, and behind every book, open the books. You may have cut a hole out and put the pistols in the book. There's no way a person can hide shotguns and an arsenal of pistols in a house and nobody not know exactly where to find them.
You know something, Brother Stephanie? You know one problem is because a lot of the parents, because the kids maybe selling drugs and they got money, the parents are compromising because the kids may be giving a certain amount to the household and helping with this and that, looking out for moms or looking out for pops, so they compromise. You know what I mean? Because the money. So if you got a teenager out here who's bringing in $2,000 a night, $700 a night, all right, You got people that's overlooking that because it's a lot of people in the city in the struggle, too. So since they're in the struggle, you know what I mean? That's a whole nother, you know what I mean, aspect of looking at it because I've seen it done. It happened. You got parents that are smoking weed, that are doing drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the kids is really like the ones that's probably running the household because they the one with the bread.
The rent. Yeah, but the majority of the people that we talking about ain't those. It ain't but a few. And this I know for a fact. It ain't that much money in the city where everybody could get it like that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And so we chasing the dream. And yeah, and the parents are. And then you got the parents who are cracked out and they run the house. Then you got kids that don't live in the household. They stay at their boy's mom's house.
Yeah.
Or their girlfriend's house. So we got a lot of different scenarios, and I'm not saying that you don't have to deal with those, but the ones that we can deal with, those are the ones that have to be addressed. You know, if your kid is in your house, even if you don't suspect him or her, because you got to check, too, with the girls, because the girls hide the stuff, too, for the boyfriends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, my point, what I'm making is that these are, it's the last hour, and at this point in time, something has to be done. If you're not going to go out, clean your house. Clean your house. And if you're not going to go outside, clean your house. At least you know that it ain't in there. You don't have to say. You don't have to say to your son, look, you can tell him, he say, Mom, where my stuff that was in my room? I got it out of my house, and don't bring any more here. I didn't call the police this time. I'm giving you an opportunity not to do that anymore. And see, the other part of it is we putting a lot of blame on these kids, man, about shooting each other. Let me ask you something. These kids, this is what these kids are up against. These kids get a pistol put to their head and say, oh, yo, you're going to shoot him, or we're going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a game of fight to the finish. It's blood in, blood out.
Hmm.
You either going to die to get in, or you going to die. I mean, somebody going to die for you to get in, and somebody going to die for you to get out. And so if you don't want it to be you, then you have to. And this is the pressure. It ain't like the peer pressure we had when we grew up, where we were smoking. They say, here, man, pass the joint, you know, and you had to make a decision whether you wanted to smoke weed. It ain't that kind of decision no more for these kids, man. And so we can't call them bad kids, because they're not bad kids. These are not bad kids, man.
Can I say something right quick?
Go ahead, bro.
I hear what everybody's saying, and, you know, it's true and all. I'm a young boy myself. I'm only 25. Living in Trenton, it is hard, you know what I mean, seeing and hearing and knowing these things that's going on. And I hear your topic saying men stand up, boys sit down. But you got to understand, sometimes being a young man, knowing and seeing what old heads do so much, you ain't going to want to hear what an old man got to say.
Right.
And I hear you saying, you know what I mean, we got to go do a march, we got to do this, we got to do that. What's really going to work, and I'm being honest, what's really going to work is a young man around your age that's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong with it, that makes another man listen.
Can I ask you a question?
Me personally, 25, me knowing a lot of old heads that's acting like my age, because older than me, I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Right.
I don't want to hear what you got to say. You know what I mean? It takes another young man that's been through something that you're going through, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, that can really change another person, another young man's mind.
Yeah, so what's the way out? What's the way out? For asking you, 25, you know, in reaching these young men, man, the way out is what? Because, I mean...
That was my question.
Yeah.
The way out of what?
The way out of this situation.
What is your ideal situation that you would think that, okay, I don't want to have my pants hanging down and be stereotyped as a thug.
I know it's
the culture and everything now, but how do you visualize yourself? You're 25 now. How do you visualize yourself in 10 years when you're 35?
John, we're on something totally different. We're talking about ducking bullets, man.
I understand.
If he wants to wear his pants hanging down, let him wear his pants hanging down. I can answer all that.
You got. I'm gonna bring it out to you. And since you asked, I'm gonna put it out there. I'm 25 years old. Just turned 25 about 3 weeks ago. The lifestyle I'm living now, nobody made me live this lifestyle. I never was in a gang. I never stood on the block. None of that. Sold drugs. None of that. I was brought up with my mom, my dad, and my whole family. You see what I'm saying? But I went to school with these young men. I talked to these young men. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get my life right. I'm married today. Been married for 3 weeks. You understand what I'm saying? I got a son on the way. I got a son now. And reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because I'm trying to be a leader, not a follower. Exactly. And the way out of it is being a leader. That's the way out of it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, and a lot of young men say it's hard. You know what I mean? It's not hard when you make up your mind.
It's not hard at all. Because what you do is, when you make up your mind, you say what you want to do, then you follow with it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something before you say that, bro? Can I say this?
Sure.
If you back up a little bit what he just said, he said, and this bishop, right?
Yeah.
This little bishop.
Yes, sir.
What he said was, he grew up with his mother, his father, and his family. Listen to what the young man is saying. He said he went to school with the thugs and the ones that was out there slinging and doing all this stuff. See, so first of all, he had the right perception before he even left to go to school.
We made that. We've established that.
I'm reinforcing what he just said.
Can I say this? Can I say this one thing, Jay? To believe it or not, and I'm gonna be all the way honest with you. Everybody that stands on the corner is not a thug. It's a lot of church boys I know that stands on the corner. It's a lot of young men that chose to stand on the corner and still have a mother and father at home. It's just the point of me seeing that looks good to me. So why don't I try it? You know, it's called self-control. If you don't have self-control, you would do anything just to fit in. That's the main thing. It's not always saying they don't have a father at home. You can have a father at home all day, but if you are being a father not paying attention to your house, more than paying attention to your job, that's what messes it up.
Thank
you. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily not having a dad home, not having a father figure in your life. It's me personally, me getting older, and now I'm saying, all right, I'm a man now. Because that's the first thing we say, I'm grown, so I'm going to go out and do what I want to do. You know right from wrong, but you chose to do the other side. You know what I'm saying? So now we got to put it in the young person's hands, the young man that chose to do that, and say, you know what's right. You know what I'm saying? You know it's right. So that's why I say it's not necessary a man, a dad or an uncle, whoever it is, going to witness and trying to bring back the young man. I say it's another young man
Definitely. So here's where we are. Now we have a situation where you got a young man say, hey, man, I grew up mother and father in the house. Lou said, yeah, mother and father in the house. That's proof. That proves what Lou said is correct. Okay, so we got that off the table. We understand that. Now, I grew up with a mother and father in the house. I had a brother that had 3 PhDs, another one who had his master's, and another one, all of them made well into 6 figures, you know? And look what I did. I ended up on the street terrorizing for half my life. So, and with a mother and father, and sat in church every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday. Thursday,
that's true.
Friday, and I'm just letting you know what it is, and so we can't say that certain things qualify us. My point that I'm saying today is that this is the last hour. There is no qualifying. Listen, man, when you sign, if you've ever been in the military, they don't care whether you had 2 people in the house. They don't care whether you, the only thing they want to know is, can you read, can you understand English? You say, yeah, you prove it, they give you a suit, and they suit you up, and they put you out there. They say, look, if you don't listen, they're going to shoot you, and you're going to die. Those are real simple instructions. And so when you have warm bodies of men, and here's the part that we have to really get, man, is that we're not going out there psychoanalyzing these young men. We're not going out there. The message is a very simple message, man. And it's not a message of salvation. It's not a message of, it's stop shooting each other. We need you. If they see sincerely in your eye, it's hard to, listen, man, I'm going to tell you, I done knocked a whole lot of people on their behind when I was running the street. I done did some, a whole, it's hard to hit a man or hurt a man who has a sincere look in his eyes and a sincere heart. You would have to be an animal to do that. And so when men stand up with a sincerity in their heart, a pure love for these young men, to see them, to say, hey, man, I don't want to see you in prison, man. They putting you away for a long time, man. I don't want to see you, you know, stretched out in a box or paralyzed or crippled. You know, when a man steps to a young man like that, I hear what you're saying, that young men need to get out, and they do. They need to get out there and talk to their peers. But when a young man, when an older man with a sincere heart steps to a young man, now like the brother said, you can't be out there smoking weed, or he see you buying weed or crack or drinking on the corner, and then you're going to turn around and tell him not to do that. No, you can't do that because there's no respect. You haven't set a standard. But there are men here in this city that have set standards. The churches are full of them. Darius Daniels has a big church full of men. Union Baptist has a church full of men. Galilee Baptist has a church full of men. Wayne Avenue Baptist has a church full of men. Grace Cathedral has a church full of men. Shiloh Baptist has a church full of men. And then you got, and these are all the majors in church, right?
Can I say this one thing? You say a church full of men, but a church full of men of what? Is the
right,
question.
Listen, it don't matter what they are at this point. They talk.
No, I'm saying you full of what? You know what I mean? You we could go to church all day, every day, and we just going because of the hype of it. But what are we getting out of it?
Bro, we ain't even talking about that part. Because if you ask them, I don't subscribe to the church, period. I mean, this is not about church. This is not about church. If you want, you know, you should have all of your Malcolm said it best. He said the situation that we're dealing with now, I'm not talking as a Muslim. I'm not talking as a Christian. I'm not talking as a 5%er. I'm not talking as anything. Those things are for your spiritual enrichment and should build you up on another situation. This situation that we're dealing with now has nothing to do with religion. I'm talking about warm, able-bodied men that will stand up and be a man. If I see you, young man, with your wife and your kids, and you just got married, I don't know whether you Christian or Muslim or Buddha. I shouldn't be able to tell. All I should be able to see is that's a strong brother right there. He got his wife and his family. That's all I'm going to see. And so a young man, when I come on the street, when I come to Trent, every time I come to Trent, Lou will tell you, everybody that know me, they come to see me. They say, hey, Phelps, what's up, man? How you doing, my brother? Oh, man, it's good to see you, man. Oh, it's good, because that's the type of man that I am. If you talk to somebody right now, they don't know. Everybody always asks me, what do you believe in? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See, because when we lose that part where we have to be associated with a clique of some sort, then we have unity. See, and until we have that, we ain't going to have anything. So my point in saying that all those churches are full of men is saying that there are men there that are not buying weed on the corner. Not to say that just because you go to church, you ain't buying the weed. Because there's a lot of them doing that, or crack, or drinking, or doing whatever they're doing. But I'm saying the image of the man is what's needed on the block. Pastor Paula Cook goes out. She talks to those young men. She gets right in their face. She gets in their grill. She talks to them. She shows them that she loves them, and they crying on her shoulder. This is a woman. And she, you know what she said to me? I can't find no men to go out there with me, so I go by myself. So we dealing, and that's sad, and she's not saying that she got a problem with the men in the city. She's just saying, ain't nobody going, I'll go myself. And so we get in church, and we say, here I am, Lord, use me. I'll go. Go where? To another church? We got to be real about this, man. Listen, yesterday there were 4 shootings. Right, in a certain part of town. Let me tell you something. With a man, this how I was when I was coming up. And I see, you got to think like they think. You got to think like the criminal. You just can't read the paper and say he did this. You got to think like a criminal mind. When I was on the block, and I was doing my dirt. And we would ride down the block to see who was on the block, if the police was out there, how many people, if the block was hopping, where was money flowing or what. If we saw a lot of people standing out there, we weren't going out there. You would be crazy out of your mind. Now, you do have some fools that will just shoot into the crowd. But then that's when your yea, though I walk through the valley scripture should kick in, right? I'm just saying. But this is the point that I'm talking about. And so so first of all, let's be clear what we got. We got men that are home need to be active, like the apostle said. The young man on who got on, young bishop said, the young men who are of their age that are not involved need to start talking to their friends, right? Isn't that what he said? I'm saying that the single parent mothers or fathers need to clean house. They need to get up. I ain't saying put your kid out, but I'm saying get up in the morning and send a message to him. Get up in Saturday morning while he's out and clean your house. Go through everything. You take your clothes, you wash them. Mom, why are you all in my stuff? I'm getting ready to wash clothes, and if anything is in here that is not belonging here, I'm telling you now, you can tell them Friday night. If there's anything in this house that does not belong here, like a gun, some drugs, knives, or whatever, you need to get it out. Because tomorrow, if I find it, depending upon the frame of mind that I'm in, I might just call the police. But I need you to get this out of the house. I need you to get this out of the house because I love you and I need you to survive. This is a matter of saving the youth. Man, this has nothing to do with putting them in jail. We don't want our youth. Can you imagine this? You know how many youth, think about this for a minute. How many youth have we lost in the last 5 years? It had to be over 200, right? Young men. Can you imagine, and out of the 200 that's been lost, they've locked up another 50. Can you imagine if they lock up, if they catch all the ones that's doing the shooting on the street? How many, the street would be a ghost town. Our only hope of saving what we have and who we have left in our youth is to try to get them to turn that energy to positive energy for the community. That's the only way, because if we lose them, if we lose the youth that we have, those are tomorrow's grocery stores, cleaners, the workers. You're talking about single-parent homes now. You get 10 years from now, there will be no men. There will be a real scarcity of men. So, you know, the solutions now, right now, are what? Are the clean house.
That's right.
It's the clean house. That's our number one goal. That's the message we need to be pushing right now, because if until we can get people to go out. If I was here, I would be knocking on people's door, man. You know, there's a group called the Detroit 300. Have 300. You seen them?
Yeah, I was reading about them today. 300, yeah, well, Detroit 300, yeah.
Go online, pull up a couple YouTubes, because here's a group of men who got fed up, because guess what? In Detroit, the government, their governor said he wasn't going to help either. And so they said, well, guess what? If you ain't going to help us, and they made it real clear, they said, I tell you what, shoot one of these babies, shoot one of these ladies, kill somebody on this block, we coming looking for you. And they meant it. Well, Trenton ain't get to that point yet, because they still praying for him. You know, Trenton is in this evangelical type state where they don't believe that you're supposed to get out and fight. They're in this whole, they set themselves up to believe that God's going to send some superheroes down from heaven and clean this thing up for them. It ain't going to happen like that. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But men have to stand up, man. They've got to stand up to the point where, the perfect example, when I call names, you know who I am. I don't pull no punches. You got Tony Mack is going through what he's going through right now, right? He's a good man, a good example for the city. He graduated school, although he had some challenges and he ran into some situations. But then you got other men. You got Andrew Bobbitt, who's a good guy. But Then you got Darren Freedom Green, who's another good guy, positive influence in the city. Then you got Tracy Sisex, who's definitely a good guy in the city, positive. These are all guys in trade, right? But they're all fighting against each other. Well, not against each other, but they've clicked themselves off to the point to where they can't work together. You cannot change the city. And guess what? When the youth see the adults fighting, they can't tell them not to fight. Can you imagine the power that would come out if the youth saw Tony Mack, Darren Freedom Green, Tracy Sisex, Andrew Bobbitt, Phyllis Holly Ward, all of those guys that sitting there fighting each other about petty little mess, if they saw them come together. But guess what? They're not going to come together, so guess who is left up to? It's left up to the people, man. It's left up to the people, and if the people are not willing to take that step to get out there and deal with it, then we're somewhere else.
It's a shame, man.
Wow. Is Bishop still on the line?
Huh?
Is Young Bishop still on the line?
Yeah,
he's still on the line.
Sir, I mean, I commend you and I respect you tremendously. And what I was just sitting here thinking is that, you know what, it has to start somewhere, and I believe you're one of the first places it has to start. Because you came to us, I know that we're older than you, probably double your age.
Triple, because John is real old, Bishop.
but we're not there. Well, Jennifer and I are not there. I don't pull any punches, but I don't say a lot either. But when I get my ire up, I'll tend to speak. Well, you're the start, and I know that you have friends that you talk to that's on the same mindset that you are. And if you can get them on board, and then, you know, one person talks to one person. You know, the same thing, telephone line, used to play in the third grade. You know, just spread the word. It can just start with one person. One person stand up.
Yeah, you know,
and then another person will stand up next to you.
Yeah, biblically,
and right now, I can see that you got three brothers behind you, three older brothers behind you. But as you said, that, you know, you're not going to listen to the guy on the corner. And Jennifer and I, and we come from the same neighborhood, and we've seen it, you know, at the Blue Note, and what's the other one up on Five? Blue Note's on Five Points, but there's the other one on Princeton Avenue. You know, we saw them standing out there, and we didn't listen to them either. We didn't.
No,
at that
you
time. No, but like, you're right, and Bishop, I have to commend you. You're right. If you can start and speak to some of those guys there, you know, and if Jennifer and I can come to some consensus and actually, you know, get up there, do something, you know, for the city, not for me, not for Jennifer, you know, but for the city. Because things are going to happen after that weekend or whatever. I'm getting on a plane and coming back to Miami. Jennifer's getting on a plane and going back to Georgia. But we respect and we love our city. I mean, for 3 years, both of us represented that city. You know, and it's still deep in our hearts. That's why we're on this call at midnight. On this radio show at midnight, because we actually care. Just because we're not there and we're not present doesn't mean we don't care. And Jennifer said earlier about a relative of his dying. Otis Jones is my brother. He got shot in the face. So I have a, you know, thing about that, you know, in my heart.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, just I implore you, if you can get with your friends and just talk to them. I don't want you and I don't expect you to go out there and march or anything like that. Just talk to them. Just spread your word and how you feel and what you see. You know, because everybody has a different view. Jennifer and I are good friends. But our views are the same but different takes on it. So put your take on it. You know, put your twist on it. You know, but start a conversation. It all starts with a conversation.
That's right.
And then go from there.
And I also want to say, too, here on the show, like for the rest of this week right here, this show is actually just going to be a platform for if Brother Senefa has some people that he may get in contact throughout the week, different ones that can call in throughout the week and make some connections or, you know, whatever can happen the rest of this week on this show. And even times in the future, whatever we do, this show is going to be, you know, trying to help our city and whatever we can do. And not just our city, but, you know, any places, because we understand that people call from all over the United States onto Dirty Church Radio. And people that call in their city, they're going through stuff too. I just want, you know, just to let, you know, our brother Senefa know, and our other brother that's talking right now, I really don't know you personally.
John.
John, I appreciate you, you know what I mean? Taking the time out of your schedule, man, and, you know, calling in, man, showing that concern, showing that love. And I actually just want to make this show be open for a lot of people to show that love this week, wherever they may be living, whether they once used to live in Trenton or they still live in Trenton or whatever, Jersey, whatever. I want everyone that's on the show now, even if our brother Dave, if he can get some other younger brothers that he knows,
right,
to call in on the show, whether they, you know, whoever they may be, man, we want to actually just push this because we need to talk, man. And I believe before we can come together, coming together, it takes communication. And I believe that right now this can be a form of communication to bring a masses of brothers together. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm looking forward to, anything that I can do to help. But right now, I believe even the older brothers that's on here, man, the wisdom that's on the line is a blessing. The younger men have wisdom too, but only they got the strength. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we put it all together, it can become something, and we can move somewhere. And so I just, you know, prefer, I hope that everyone on the line, we're not just having this show just to have this show. Like, we're having this show to actually affect something. You know what I mean? So this is not in vain. And I'm taking it serious, and I hope everyone else take it serious. And I hope that everyone actually pushes so we can get a lot of people on here so we can talk, so we can make something happen to the point where our brother Senefa and our brother John will get on that plane and fly down here. You know,
If you don't mind, I want to give an email address, okay?
Go ahead.
And the email address is to an organization that was started by a few of us brothers, and the organization is called Building Black Back, okay? And the email address is buildingblackback@gmail.com. buildingblackback@gmail.com. Now, here's what I'm asking. If you're in Trenton, New Jersey, and you have, there's a pastor or an organization that you are affiliated with that would like to become a part of the coalition of New Jersey that's going to reach different cities, all the urban cities in New Jersey, to form a coalition to force the elected officials' hand, the state, the governor and senator, and even on the federal level, to force their hand. Because when we look at what's going on, like I said before, at a local level, Trenton is an isolated incident, and as long as they can keep only Trenton crying, then they won't make a difference. It won't make a difference to them. They won't move to do anything. But if Trenton and Camden, and they see that these voices are united and saying, hey, something's wrong, and you guys are not because money is there to police the streets. Now, sure, we have to clean up our own mess, but Trenton is missing half its police force, and the governor has not made a comment yet about the crime. You guys got to look at what's really going on. The election season came around, and we were excited because Barack was reelected. But did you guys ever take notice that neither one of Romney or Barack said a thing about inner city crime? The only time Mitt Romney or it was mentioned to poor people was Mitt said, we ain't worried about the poor people. We got a safety net for them. That's what his quote was. And so we got to look at what's happening. So what we have to do is take these matters into our hands, form a coalition, and take our voting right and take our power that is given to us and force their hands. Because nobody wants to know, you know, when you have all the cities in New Jersey or the urban cities in New Jersey and they take their death tolls and tally them up and say under Christie's watch, so far, we've had 600 murders or 700 murders. Guess what? We haven't lost 700 Americans in Afghanistan, and they're dropping bombs and shooting all the time. And we put billions and billions of dollars over there. We go to work every day and fund that war. So why wouldn't you send that same type of aid to our community? See, because they're not doing it because we haven't said anything about it. It's an isolated incident. So 22 murders in the city, it always adds up. But when you say 700 murders in New Jersey, in the urban cities alone, that sounds a little bit different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so buildingblackback@gmail.com is the email address. What I need you guys to do is reach out to your pastors. If you're young, reach out to your parents and give them that email address. And tell them, and just simply say in your subject line that I'm in. And then just simply put in your subject line, I'm in, and we'll keep you updated as to where we are and the progression that we're making as far as the coalition and what it's doing. You know what I'm saying? Because it has to start here. Now, there's no overnight fix. The only overnight fix that I can say right now is parents, if you're listening, this is the message that we need to get out to people. So when you talk to your friends tomorrow and you talk to your pastor friends and you should be on the phone or email address, and tell them to clean their houses. It's time to clean house. It's time to go through your closets, through your kids' rooms, through everything, under the bed, all. It doesn't matter, and get those things out. Now, sure, we ain't going to get them all, but I guarantee you some parents will find something. And even if they don't, it'll send a message. And so that's the point where we are right now until there's something else that can be done. You know, we surely ain't going to go out in the street and shoot it out. Because we don't want to kill those kids. We don't want those kids going to jail. We don't want the police killing those kids. Not the kids, but those young men, I'm sorry, and young women. We don't want any more of them dying. Not one, man. We want them all to live because they're valuable to the production of our communities, man. These are strong. And let me tell you something, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to offend a couple people. If I had to stand side by side with somebody, I would stand with them before I go grab one of them jokers up out of church. You know why? Because they're willing to lay down their life for whatever cause they believe in. These cats, and so stop feeling like you know I shouldn't say nothing to the people in the church. No, it's about time. It's about time. I ain't saying you go put them on blast or anything like that, but you got to start calling these pastors out, man. You got to start calling them out by name. That I ain't going to call no names ain't working with me no more. Our kids is dying. You know, the kids are dying. You can't say you Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized and anointed with the Spirit and you in church laying hands on people, the same people, and they falling all over the floor and rolling around foaming at the mouth, but you can't go outside and touch one person's hand, shake a young man's hand. If you that anointed, you should be able to just shake their hand. It's time to get out and make a difference, man. It's time for men to stand up. It's time for the women to stand up. Not just men. It's time for women to stand up, too. You know? Women got women, you know, it's time for them to stand up, too. You know, set some boundaries.
Yeah, I'm talking to someone today, and I was telling them about, you know, the topic, you know, when men stand up, boys sit down. And he was like, it's not actually even just boys sitting down. He was like, yo, every man was a boy before. And a lot of times the problem is the men that are grown now, the boy is in charge. The boy is standing up and the man is sitting down in the individual. So it's time. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's time for the boy to sit down in the man so he can stand up. You know what I mean? I just thought that, that just when he said that, that was like, I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Because
someone might hear that and be thinking that it's just actually talking about a man standing up and another boy sitting down. But it could be that man himself that
now,
needs to let that
something.
Little boy sit down.
I'll share something with you. And you know, I am a firm believer in knowing who you are. Part of the problem with our youth is they don't have an identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they come from. They think they're, you know, because here's what happened. Their society said that these kids that's out there now, they call, guess what they call them? Crack babies. They ain't no damn crack baby. How you have a crack baby? Ain't no such thing. These are men and women. They may have been born in a circumstance. If that's the case, most of the people in the 60s is LSD babies. We got to stop labeling these kids. We got to stop labeling our young men. They ain't no crack babies. Those are fun. Let me tell you something. If they was a crack baby, why can't nobody stop what they doing? This is an organization you dealing with. This ain't no wild street kids. This is a full-blown organization that you're dealing with, and it's top of the line. And I tip my hat to them. I just have a hard time with the product and the targets that they're making. We have to give them another target to shoot at without a bullet.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, and I said, and I was John. Yeah. I hope you don't mind if I share this with them. John and I, about 4 months ago, we stayed on the phone from about what was it, John? About 1 o'clock in the morning to about 7 in the morning.
Yeah,
we stayed on the phone putting together a plan that was going to offer or a company that was a 501c3 non for profit that was going to offer matching funds to gang members who were wanting to turn their life around and start businesses. So the criteria is that, say, for instance, they have, we put $10,000 in. That meant that they had to come to the table with $10,000 because the gang members got $10,000. So rather than buy a car, we said, let's put it in this building. Let's open the store. Now you can put your gun down. You can put your game. You can get out of that. Let's show them how to do business, man. Because the same talent that they use, you know, we always say this, and I can say this because it is Dirty Church Radio, right? Now, the church always says, God didn't take me from where I was and change my life. He took me from where I was and used the same things that I was doing for him, right? So why wouldn't we take the same thing that they're doing and use it for something good?
Yeah.
These are talented people, man. We've allowed a particular people. Let me, and I'm going to say this, and please, you know, if there's any white people listening, no offense to you, but white supremacy and white people are two different things. You guys hear me, right?
Yeah.
White supremacy and white people are two different things. But now, white supremacy has set a standard where our youth are failing. And what it says when they fail is that they're not good for anything and they don't qualify. And so dump them back into your ghetto. The few that do qualify make it out. Like John. John's, for example. John, if you don't mind me, John is a master chef. Like the guys on the, what's that, John? What's that? Yeah, the Food Network. Yeah. John cooks for Sony, for all the athletes, for the movie stars and all that. John's a master chef, a television, Jen's, whatever you call them guys, the Iron Chef. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, Bobby
now, John
Clay, Michael Simon.
Yeah. John come off of Summer Street, right around the corner where they shot them, Fowler Street, right around the corner from where they just had shot four people. That's where he grew up, right by the Carver Y.
Yes,
so my
Fowler Street, Trenton, New Jersey, 0618.
That's right. So it ain't like Trenton. And guess what? John wasn't no, he wasn't the smartest, I mean, sharpest tool in the block according to their standards. According to their standard, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the block in the shed. But he understood it. And so our kids are not stupid. They're not dumb. We got to stop letting the mothers take the kids down to the Henry J. Austin Help Center and get them diagnosed and pump them with the kids. They're pumping our kids with ADHD medicine so because they're saying they have attention deficit disorders and that they're not mentally stable. Our kids, ain't nothing wrong with our kids. It's how they're teaching our kids. And so now we understand all these things, man. You know, we got to look at what these families are up against, man. We got drug addiction problem in Trenton. That's why the drug trade is so powerful, right? Right? You ever seen an inner city with a major drug problem with no rehabs?
Yeah.
Why is that on Perry Street?
Yes,
The old bus station. The one on Perry Street used to be the old bus station.
That was on Perry Street?
Yeah.
Perry Street. From the old bus station. No, that wasn't. That was just they used to have meetings there.
Oh, okay.
Not anymore. Yeah, no, I'm talking about rehab, treatment facility,
right.
Where you can go get help. And so we got a city with major drug infestation and no rehabs for people to get help. That's where our men at. That's where the rest of the men at. So when we look at what is killing the city, you got to look at the whole picture. It ain't the kids. It's a design, man. So you got part of the kids shooting each other, killing them. Then the adults, you got them strung out and ODing and dying and buying the drugs. So
maybe
that's how
no help is coming. It's because it's their form of population control.
It is, my brother. That's why if you look on my page, I posted a picture. Jermaine was on there yesterday. And that's what I was talking about. Their whole purpose of it is population control. So now that we understand that, this is my point. Once we understand what we're dealing with, then we have to fix it internally, right?
That's right.
We have to fix it internally. So we hold the church's responsibility because they're holding the wealth of the community. They've been collecting the wealth of the community for 50 years. We don't need an addition to a church. You get an addition to it. Listen, let me tell you. Wilcox put an addition to the church on, and now he got an empty building on the other side with a fence around it where can't nobody get in. So we don't need a new building. What we need is some services for the community. I'm just telling the truth, man. It don't bother me if they get mad. You know, if they get mad or if that's your church, tell your pastor to call me. I'll talk to him. The number 678-379-9417. If you got a problem with what I'm saying, call me. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, our communities are damaged the way that they are because, number one, our youth don't know who they are. First of all, as far as they go back, most of the youth in the street right now have been kicked out of school, right? So they don't go to school, so they never even got to the part where they told them about George Washington. They never got to the lie about Abraham Lincoln. They never even got to the lie about who they were. They don't have a clue. But I tell you one thing they're not buying. They're not buying some weak man coming down there with a suit on, a white suit, and some white shoes, talking about give up their money in church when they go to church. They ain't buying that either.
I believe this problem is really bigger than the church, and we need men from everything, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian.
It is way bigger than the church.
You know what I mean?
Whatever
your belief system, like you said, really, if your belief system really don't really have nothing to do with this right now.
I'm not beating up on the church, Jermaine. I'm saying
I understand what you're saying.
That's where it is.
The reason why I was saying that because we know that you're not beating up on the church. But some people may call in and that's the only thing they hear is that part. And didn't hear nothing else you said. But I just want everybody, when they call on Dirty Church Radio, I want everybody to get clarity.
Okay, let me clear up what I said. Initially, when I started speaking today, we were talking about the unification of people within the community, and this calls for the imams in the city of Trenton, the NOI, which is the Nation of Islam, in the city of Trenton. It calls for the Black Catholic population, which is very small, but it's there. In the city of Trenton, this calls for the NAACP, this calls for the church. Unfortunately, there's more churches than there are anything else or any other black organization. Historically, that is and has always been the go-to, the point guard for the urban community. Okay, so no, I'm not beating up on the church. I'm just saying that the church has the wealth. To make a difference. No other organization has it. And how you get it is up to you. It's just that now it's time to pour some of it into the community, you know. And that calls for commitment from listeners, and it calls for commitment from people from all walks of life, man. You know, I was telling you before, Jermaine, you know, Building Black Back is an organization, man, that is going to make a difference. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of when. And that's why I said the coalition is being put together right now, because we have to be, listen, they're not going to build black, you know, when I say, let me explain what the organization is. Building Black Back means when we look back at our childhood, life was a little bit different, right? When we grew up, it was different. We could sit out on the porch and we could stay. I remember sleeping out in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that anymore. The communities had neighbors, neighborhoods. They were neighborhoods. Now, the system has taken the neighbor out of the hood. And so it left us with hoods. Most of the people that live in your neighborhood, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
Because they took the neighbor out of the hood. Just like they took brother out of brotherhood. And so we want to build this back. We got to build our own. Because if we look at our neighborhoods and look at theirs, their neighborhoods are being built up. They're putting up prefab houses in ours. You know, they're refurbishing the projects. That's all they're doing. And they're relocating the projects. If you notice, all the little housing developments are going up. Miller Homes is getting ready to go up, and it's going to be beautiful. And then they're going to put all the people over there. And then over about 20 years from now, that'll be another problem. It'll be a cesspool of whatever is going on if we do not build Black Back. We're talking about building the black businesses back. bringing the, when I was growing up, there was a cleaners, a black business, or just a, it was black business all over the place. We had black record stores, we had black cleaners, we had, you remember those shoe shine shops?
Ace Records.
Ace Record Shop. We had restaurants, famous steakhouse, and all shrimp boat. We had all kind of stuff in the city, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Is Bill bringing black back, is it going to do something to help give the black man an image like, yo, it's okay to marry the woman? It's okay you know, it's okay to be in a home. It, like, you don't have to be big pimp, big player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
Like,
you don't have to, you, like, because, like, right now when you do that, that's, you get respect from that. And by how many more women you got, how many chicks you can knock off and all that, you get respect from that. So
who you get respect from?
No.
Right.
They, that's what I'm saying. They get respect. That's
yeah, but
that's
who you get
thing.
Respect from? Do you want that respect?
A lot of brothers do. A lot of brothers do, especially when,
that's
you,
all
got,
they know.
When you got the older cat
that's
like,
know.
Hey, I'm Mr. Pimp, you know what I mean? Or I'm Mr. Cat Daddy, Sugar Daddy, you know what I mean? So it's a whole lot of perception that's not just coming from the young, it's coming from the old, too, that, you know what I mean, that kind of, like, condones and make it okay.
When you, let me ask you something, Jermaine. When you go into a Spanish neighborhood, how can you tell it's Spanish? It's a Spanish neighborhood.
You want to listen? Let me tell you one thing I can say about the Spanish community. My, matter of fact, my brother's married to a Spanish, but that's not the point. One thing I can say like this, man, they take pride in them as a people. Mm-hmm. And when you get in there, man, you see family. Whether it's,
but I'm saying, let's say it's at night and you go, you ride through. How is there any way you can tell that is Spanish? Or you go to an event. You can tell, and here's what I'm saying. There's culture. They have flags,
well,
right? They have.
Someone who lives in Little Cuba, I think I can speak on this. All right? Yes, the Spanish people down here, especially the Cubans, because that's the bulk of the, I think it's something like 70% of the population here is Cuban. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, there's a Cuban influence in everything.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Everything.
That's right.
Little flags on the car.
That's right.
Flags on the houses.
That's right.
It's. I'm Cuban and I'm proud.
That's
basically,
what's
they mean. Have a pride in their heritage, and it's not a shame to put it out there. Not boastfully or anything like that, but they are not ashamed of their heritage. I'm Cuban. I'm Mexican. You know, I'm Hispanic. Now, that's from us looking on the outside. But on the inside, since I deal with them since I live here and I deal with them all the time, they have a lot of infighting. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm not Cuban.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's but my point, and my point I was making was to his question was, are you going to deal with that part that it's okay to marry, that it's okay to raise a family? Because let me tell you something, man, we've gotten away from family, the black family is the black family, and Lou started it out.
Yeah.
That was his major issue, and is the black family and the deterioration or the destruction of the black family. Matter of fact, in my book, there's a chapter called Black Glass, and it deals with the black family. And when we look at the deterioration of it, most of it is deteriorating because there's no culture. We don't have a culture anymore. Which is why I said, what do you see? So what makes a black man proud? Nothing makes a black man prouder to stick his chest out to know that he came from something. When a black man knows that he picks up a part of his history and he finds out that he came from a king, and that Mansa Musa was the was the most wealthiest man on the planet to date. You ask somebody, who was Mansa Musa? They'll go, who is that? Not a man ever lived to be as rich as he is. And this is reality. And so when we teach our young people who they are and where they come from and give them some culture to go by, see, because American history is not exciting if you're not American. They call you African American. You are not American. If I was an American, why do you put African in front of it? Why you keep changing me every 15 years?
That's deep.
You know, American history is not. American history is not exciting to learn. I don't care that George Washington did this or Abraham Lincoln did this, because when I go back and study my history and I find out that you guys were excited about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, but when I look at black people's condition, we was picking cotton. Y'all was beating us and hanging us around those times. There's nothing exciting to learn about that.
Yeah, that is true. Mansa Musa was richer than the Rothschilds family.
What happened?
The reason we were free was to assist in the war.
That's right. So when
that's the only reason we were free.
That's right. And well, and then yeah, because they didn't have a reason. So now when we look at what we're teaching our youth, and so we're telling them, you know, we can't allow the system. And hear me good, man. Anybody that's listening, we cannot allow this system to tell us to tell our kids that they're worthless, that they're useless, that they're stupid because they did not pass a standardized test that was designed to keep them where they were in the first place. You got a test. Listen, man, imagine this in your mind for a minute, okay? You got a guy sitting at a desk, right? Y'all with me? Here's a guy sitting at a desk, and the desk is outside in a park, and behind him, about 10 feet away in front of him, in front of the guy with the desk, there's a big, big tree, right? Now, in front of him, there's a line of creatures. You got a bull, you got a monkey, you got a gorilla, a fox, and a fish, and a dog, right? And he said, okay, now you guys are going, whoever climbs that tree get an A. Now, can't nobody climb the tree but the monkey and the gorilla anyway. Fish can't climb, right? Well, that's what standardized test means to black people. They do the same thing to us. They raise us in a certain environment, and then they give us a standardized test that was designed for them. Now, we adapt to it, and we pass it, some of us. Now, my point in saying that is that we cannot allow a system to tell us that those kids that's out there killing each other are throwaways. They're not throwaways. Those are our future, man. That's our future. We got to find a way to let them know that we love them. We got to find a way to let them know that they're in error, and we got to find a way to redirect them somewhere. Now, you can't go out there and tell them stop doing what they're doing and then don't have nothing for them to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's time, the change right now, it's time for us, man, to stand up as men. Let me tell you, and I'll share this with you. There's a scripture in the Bible where Jonathan, the armor bearer, he goes up in the garrison of the Philistines, and they're getting ready to go fight them. And he's saying, wow, he looks down, him and his armor bearer. Jonathan tells his armor bearer, he said, hey, man, I think we could take them. And his armor bearer said, we who? He said, like, me and you? He like, yeah, man, you crazy. So he tells his armor bearer, come on, let's go take him. The armor bearer is like, oh, man, it's just me and you. Listen what he says. Jonathan tells him that there's no restraint of God. Or there, God has no restraints. He can save by many or by few.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need an army, man. John McKnight just said tonight, he said, there were some men in our community that changed the lives of, you can ask every man our age if they knew who Chubby Blackwell was, John named him John Couch. That's
Archie
right.
Dent.
Archie Dent. That's right. Paul Pintella. You asked him.
Paul Pintella. Senior.
That's right. Senior, not junior. Yeah, but if you ask them, and it doesn't take a lot of men, man. It doesn't take a lot of men.
What, 6, 8 of them?
8 of them, yeah. And they change the lives of hundreds of youth throughout the city. Now, truth of it is there are going to be some that's going to be lost, brothers.
Yeah.
There's going to be some that's going to be lost. Some you ain't going to reach. And some you ain't going to want to get in their way. They're going to tell you quick, look, bro, it ain't, you know. But for the most part, when I was in Trenton and the guys that I talked to, they respect me. They call me OG. They respect me, man. What they don't respect is a coward man. They don't respect a man that has no feelings for where they are. You got to understand where they are, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to understand that these kids, since the age of 14, they dropped out of school. They don't qualify for jobs.
Right.
And so the only way they know to get money is getting money. You know, the street pay their bills. You got to understand how that game works. You know, they understand that. I made $30,000 last week. I can't spend 10 of it because if I do, then the police, they got me. These ain't stupid people, man. They know you can't, you know, they go to the car dealer and give him $2,000. Can I drive off? He go, yeah, I'll come back and give you $2,000 every week because he ain't got to report that. So these people are not dumb people, man. These are very, very highly intelligent. This is the fruit of our communities, man. We're letting it go bad. That's what we're doing by not standing up. So when men stand up, trust me, boys really do sit down. Whether they stand up inside of themselves, like Jermaine said, whether the man stands up within himself, which is really time for. You know, because that has to happen first. Like Lou said, whether the man becomes present in the home, it's time for that. You know, if you're a man in your house and you ain't living your part or you're not doing your part, it's time that you stand up. You know, you got the Darren Freedom Green. Stop fighting and talking bad about Tony Mack. He's a man just like you. Andrew Bobbitt, stop talking bad about Tony Mack. He's a man just like you, got a family just like you. You know, these guys, we need you guys to form a union together. Forget what happened in the past.
Yep.
I love all of y'all, man. You know, all those cats, I love them. And I'll tell you what, and you guys can ask them, from the mayor on down in the city of Trenton, ask them, have I ever stepped to them about something? I have not missed a person. I have no respect of person. If you're out of line, you're out of pocket, Sinefa got something to say to you. If I'm out of line and out of pocket, check me.
Uh-huh.
You feel me? Check me. If you see I'm out of pocket, matter of fact, somebody check me tonight. I said something to somebody. He said, Brother Sinefa, man, don't do that. I was like, oh, okay, all right, my bad. Sorry. God, you know I lose it sometimes. I be forgetting. I'm Sinefa. I think I'm Ellis back in the day. You know, I forget sometimes. But it's important. It's important, brothers.
Wow, man.
It's really important. And Jermaine, man, I commend you and Will and DA on having the inspiration. And following through with it to start the show, man. And I think it's a benefit, and I think it's going to get better for you. And I think that at this point where we are in this mission, there's some goals that we have. And here's what I'm asking everybody who's listening tonight, if you're in Trenton or if you're anywhere else, I don't care where you are, 10 people, call or contact 10 people that you know and tell them to clean house. Tell them, please, save your child by cleaning house. Save my child by cleaning house. Help me save our community by let's clean house. Let's do a winter cleaning. You know what I mean? Let's really deep clean. Don't just go looking indoors. Just let's move the bookshelves, the things with the dust on it that you be cheating when you clean. Move it out the way because kids are smart. I had a little floorboard upstairs in my back when I was running the street that I used to hide my weed in. You know, the planks in the floor. I moved the carpet out the way and pulled the plank up. So walk, take your time. Walk around the room. You know what I mean? If you hear the floor loose, investigate it. Because we need to save these people, man. We need to save these people from themselves.
That's right.
We need to save them from themselves. And the only way we're going to do it is it's a community effort, man. You know, and I'll share this, and then I'm going to have to run. But we look at the pyramids, and I'm going to share this and go. The pyramids in Africa, when we look at the Great Pyramids, do you know that those pyramids were built by community effort? The people of the community, the people of that land, built those. A community effort. They got up every day, and they went out there, and they did their part until they erected those big monuments that nobody knows how they did it, right? Because nobody, guess what? Nobody knows because it was unity that built them. When people unify, you can't figure out how they do the things that they do. Because it doesn't make sense. That because they do so much when people unify. Matter of fact, there's a scripture. What is it, Lou? 103rd Psalm that says, "Oh, that men who dwell together in righteousness is like the oil from Aaron, that rolls down Aaron's head down to his beard. The anointing. You know what I'm saying? You remember that scripture?
Yep.
When men form, yeah, that's what happens when men. You can't figure it out, man. But
you
did,
brother.
Huh?
I said you went there on that one.
I'm sorry, man.
You pulled one out from the archives.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Read
to my Bible.
Yeah, it's there though. If I said it, it's there. Trust me.
I'm gonna tell y'all something. If you want to see a real good example of unity too, you got Netflix. Go on Netflix and watch this documentary on fire ants and how they survive. Through all these millions of years in existence, yo. And how they run their system of unity. On Netflix, it's called Fire Ants. I'm telling you, it's a great documentary. Yeah, Fire Ants. And it's about ants, but fire ants. I'm telling you, when you see how they unify.
Yeah.
They got
roaring ants. They got ants that just come out just for battle. Challenge the net and they on you.
And listen, they all know their job. And
that's
listen,
right.
They got ways of unity, right? That scientists are studying these fire ants and trying to figure out how they can possibly even have such a system. Like they're so unified that it's like they can't understand it. That's how unified they are. Like it's almost, I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, when it rains, they all become a raft together by entangling each other.
Wow.
That's deep.
That's deep.
Oh.
That's where we at, my brothers, man. I love y'all, man, and you know, and I know that the conversation is not in vain. So 10 people, everybody with that, right? 10 people, man. You know, and those that are listening, 10 people, reach out to them and tell them, you know, that it's time to clean house and to check the rooms, to check the pockets, the drawers. The everywhere that you could hide something, and you're looking for guns, you're looking for drugs, you're looking for knives, you're looking for whatever, anything that would harm another individual or does not belong in your house. You're looking for stolen stuff that you know you ain't buy, and you know it shouldn't be in your house. Then it's time to get rid of it, and so that you don't create a situation give your kid a chance. Tell them Friday night, say, hey, here's what's happening. You know,
that's right.
Whatever you got in this house, I'm going to give you a chance to get it out.
Oh,
get
wow.
it out the house.
That's
you know,
right.
If it belongs to somebody else, take it to somebody else. But I don't want it in my house. You know, as a matter of fact, there was a scripture and principle, the spiritual principle of it, was Achan had something in his house. You remember that?
That's right.
He wasn't
uh-huh.
supposed to take something, and he had it in his house, and he wondered why. And Israel wondered why they were falling apart.
The economy in the camp.
That's
yeah.
right. Because he had something in his house.
That's
and
right.
so you got to get that. That's right.
right.
You got to get that thing out of your house.
Get it out.
Well, I'm going to tell you 1 second, fellas. Listen, man, I was knocked off the air. Listen, God bless everyone. We appreciate you all for listening to the show. Tune in tomorrow night. God bless you all. We love you.
Love you, man. Yeah.
Listen, we off the air live right now. I just want to say, man, thanks a lot, man. Senefa, John, Apostle Young, we appreciate you, man, taking your time out. And listen, it don't stop here at this show.
Right.
Listen, Dirty Church Radio, just know it's a platform. It's a platform to get it out there. And we're not going to say everything on the air because all strategy can't be spoken out loud.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we can't speak everything. But this is a place of coming together. And just use it as a voice to call, as a trumpet. This is the call out. This is the call out. To stand up. And like you said, man, it's time to clean house.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's time to clean house. It's time to clean schools. It's time to clean,
right.
you know what I mean, cars. It's time to clean backyards.
Everything. That's right,
everything.
Bro.
You know what
everything.
I'm saying?
Everything.
Everything that's connected to you. It's time to clean it.
It's
and
because
like Apostle
I'm
Young
a touch.
Said
that's right.
earlier, he said earlier, that it starts within the home. And listen, if there's no father in the house but you the uncle, go there. You know what I'm saying? If you're
right.
the uncle, if you're the brother, you be the male presence in your sister's house or in your aunt. Like, do whatever you can. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if the father ain't there, let the cousin step up. You know what I mean? Let the uncle, like, for real, if you a man, step up.
Yep,
and
step up.
That's the importance, man. And you know what? This blessed me tonight because, yo, this is making me even focus on being a better man myself within my home. And making sure I keep my home clean. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And, like, listen, I got all daughters. I got 5 daughters. 5. You know what I'm saying? And listen, man, while they sleep, I'm up. I've been up a couple nights, man, just up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With that sense of, like, it's time to watch. It ain't time to sleep. It's time
right.
to watch. You know
right.
what I mean? And that mode, that's the mode I've been in. Like, yo, you can't sleep right now. Let them sleep. Why
you
awake?
Recommended for that, bro.
That's right.
I'm serious, man. and that's why I keep anybody that I know that's living in Trenton, you know, my goal now, I'm just going to keep them in prayer. But I'm coming to Trenton myself Saturday, and I'm going to be at the monument Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says despise not the day of small beginnings.
That's right.
I mean, I'm going out there at 3 o'clock. And,
right.
And I'm praying for the city at 3 o'clock.
Right.
And I made that appeal on Facebook today. I mean, it's a start. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I know
that's where it starts at, Lou.
Yeah,
that's
we got to do more than
at.
Pray. We definitely got to do more than just some praying. But, man, we got to start somewhere.
You got
to
start.
And it just seems like to me that it should have been more with the same mindset that's leaders. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to point the finger at none of them. I'm going to be an example. I'm going out there Saturday. I'm going to be out there at 3 o'clock. And I don't care if I'm out there by myself. You know, I'm going to pray at the Battle Monument.
Yeah.
And I'm a pray until God say leave. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And and whoever comes. Whoever don't. But
don't come. That there you go. Because you know, Lou, that's what I was saying. You know, one of the things that I've learned a long you know, not a long time ago. It had to be maybe, you know, 10 years. I learned that the small people, because I used to always look for the leaders to lead. And the leaders are leading in the capacity that they're supposed to lead in. And in reading the scripture, if that's where we, you know, if and I go there because that's where most people live, you know, to use an example, Saul was a leader. He was an elected official. He wasn't in charge of nothing. But the, you know what I'm saying? He didn't.
Yep.
He had to wait. Any battle he ever went to, he had to wait for Samuel. Samuel ran things. And so the leaders, and then when you look at David, you look at the leader, Saul was still a leader. David was a little fella.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't like God goes and looks for the small guy. I mean, the big leader, the mayor, the governor, to do anything. No, we hold them accountable. But,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You hold them accountable, but they ain't in charge of nothing.
Yo, so never, right? This don't have nothing to do with what y'all talking about, right?
Well,
I just
want
to, I just want to let you know.
I
just want to let you know, bro. I don't like clowns. I ain't like that clown you put up, man. Word up, when I was a kid, like even as a kid, I never liked clowns. Like. To me, I've always seen deception in the smile of a clown. Like, a clown never made me laugh. I always seen deception in the clown's grin. So I don't like clowns at all. Like, don't even bring a clown for my amusement or anything like that, man.
Nothing. Well, I'm glad it worked then. That worked. Good. He said, Lou, you saw that clown, Lou?
Uh-uh.
You ain't seen the clown? Lou, you got to see the clown. Lou, you got to see the clown. You gonna crack up.
Hey, yo, Lou, you going to crack up, right? But Lou,
it's on
Lou,
J-A.
No, it's on
Snapchat. It's my post. You know I be doing stuff with graphic.
Yeah, he be.
You at your computer,
you,
Lou?
Right?
Yeah.
He said, if this clown told you to give him 10% of your check, if this clown stood idle while your youth were getting killed in the streets, and does nothing but says he has anointed power. If this clown lied to you, purchased expensive cars, jewelry, and homes while you struggle to survive, if this clown calls himself a prophet but nothing comes true, if this clown always knows what God is thinking, if this clown tells you how to run your household, if this clown asks you to follow him, would you? Then what's the problem? Word up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you know his thing, my name is and this is a Black Liberation Service announcement. And I approve this message. Yeah.
That's right.
Yo,
that's
this
right.
Clown, I don't like that clown. It looked like
you don't
it. It looked like it. You ever seen it?
Yep.
What was the clown named Pennywise?
Yeah, he was tough.
Yeah.
He's killing people. But this one killing people too. And it was a couple people who took offense, as a matter of fact, you know. But the truth is the truth, man. And until we start telling the truth, they gonna keep telling lies. So my motto is I'm gonna keep telling the truth on them until they stop lying to us. That's my motto.
I think we're gonna do a show called You've Just Clown. Been Bozo. No, you've just been bozoed.
John, you still on the line, John?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Man,
I'm still here.
Crazy.
But I'm actually going to get off. But I wanted to say one thing about the Building Black Back. I have a board meeting Saturday for the Broward Black Professionals. And I'm going to bring that up.
Bring it up, man. I'm going to call you and talk to you about it.
I'm going to get back from it and everything. So I'm on the board, so I can push a little bit. But I'm not going to push too hard, but I'm going to put it out there and talk to a couple of people that I'm close to.
What you mean you ain't gonna push too hard? If you ain't gonna push hard,
I know.
Then don't
push. Listen, I know how to do my.
I had a joker trying to push my car one time, and he wouldn't push hard. We ain't getting nowhere.
Well, shit,
if you
going.
Gonna push, push.
No, listen, I'm gonna put it out there.
I know
one thing, and I'm gonna see who's receptive because everybody's not gonna be receptive, and I know that.
Well, that's fine.
I'm
gonna
put it out
I,
there
yeah.
and everything, and I know the ones who are, and
yeah.
that's
well,
the ones I'm gonna push on. The other ones.
Well, that's
are,
good.
Mention it, but the other ones that I know, a couple guys on there, you know, one's in the 100 Black Men also, you know.
We're
I'm
still building a board, man. It's four gentlemen and one female right now. We're still building, and so it's been 3 months working, and so we're looking to do some great things, John. And I think you might want to even be interested, and I'll sit down and talk to you about it. And it's not infant, but early stages, you know
right.
what I mean? And so this is what the coalition is being built under, and we can't forget about that, guys. And everybody, that should be, it shouldn't be just radio show, as I said before, with no work. And so if you guys are serious about doing something, building Black Back, get in touch. I know you guys have been preaching, playing music, Lou and Jermaine throughout New Jersey. You guys have done some traveling, and you got some pastor friends in different small cities within the city, or you know people. Reach out to them and tell them, hey, we need to talk to a pastor, or to explain to them what's going on in Trenton, and ask them if they're having the same problem in their city. And I guarantee you, they'll tell you, yeah. And when they say that, they're going to say, we don't have a solution either. And so the solution is the coalition, and let them know Building Black Back and my number. I'm going to post this tomorrow, and I'm going to put up a flyer or something tomorrow about Building Black Back and send it to everybody. So as a matter of fact, why don't you guys do this for me? Send me an email with your email address as opposed to Facebook. Or you can send your email address to Facebook, because I don't want it on Facebook, because guess who has access to Facebook? Not that they don't have access to your email, but
private.
They have a little bit more access. Yeah. So send me an email. Just say I'm in, because I don't check it. Somebody else checks it. Just put in the topic, I'm in, to buildingblackback@gmail.com. Building Black.
What, say that again.
Building, like a building, right? BUILDING.
Mm-hmm.
Black, BLACK. Back, BACK. @gmail.com. And in the subject line, just put I'm in. And so what that'll do is when people send the email and they start sending, correspondence out, then you'll be in the database for that. And that way we can communicate to everybody at the same time, as opposed to making phone calls. We'll be able to communicate, because eventually there's, you know, you guys are in New Jersey, and I know that once the coalition is formed, we'll be meeting somewhere up there. I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's in Trenton or Newark or Camden or wherever, but there's going to be a meeting somewhere, because there's somebody, there's like six, a couple of pastors from, what is that? Plainsboro, that I have been talking to over the last couple of days, and we were all talking about the same thing, and their problem is even worse than Trenton. A lot of these places have a bigger death toll than we do, but they're bigger than, like John said, they're bigger than Trenton is. And so, you know, we have to make this a national issue. That's our only fight. How do you think people win major cases, like those big high-profile cases? They win major cases because they become national, and every time they, as soon as they go public with it, they settle.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? So
well,
Christie is not going to settle until it's put in his face. And what is put out there, and he has to answer to ABC, NBC. Hey, he's really not the he was the president. He was out there talking for the president, and his state is killing each other. That's a war zone. If you got 80, listen, man, listen. Trenton has 86,000 people in it, right? No, 886. Is it 800? 800? No, yes, 880. Yeah, it's about a million.
Oh, okay.
It's 886,000 people is in Trenton, right? No, that's a lot. No, it's 86,000, right? And 600 people die? The Army don't lose that many people. That's a lot of folk, man. So you got that number has to be put in their face, and when you look at Camden and Newark and all those guys, we just have to
put 84,899.
See,
the numbers is lessening.
See, your boy. I told you, if I throw it out there, Jermaine, it's gonna be halfway right. Lou, it's going to be just about almost. It's right up in there. It's almost there, player. I mean, I might be off by half the story, but I got the other half right. No, I'm No, but yeah, but it's a lot of people, you know. We're losing a lot of people, man, real fast. And we got to, you know, we got to get out of the mindset that them fools is crazy. You know, because the words that we speak are spirit and life. And so we got to get out of the mindset of talking to these youth like that, putting our mouth on them in a negative way, because they're not negative. They're misinformed. And the reason they're misinformed is our fault. We have to take responsibility. They didn't raise themselves.
That's deep.
Yeah, it ain't their fault that they're like that. So we gotta go save them from themselves. And unfortunately, there's gonna be some martyrs. There's gonna be some people who gonna die in the process, man. Spiritually, mentally, or physically.
Like they say, everybody wanna go to heaven, but nobody wanna die.
No. Hey, man, I tell you, man, my whole life, and I say this all the time, you know, my life at this point is I live it for the liberation of black people. Some of the things that I say might not be many people may not be able to stomach it, but if they sit and think about it for a minute, it make a whole lot of sense. You know, it make a whole lot of sense. It might be against their paradigm of thought or belief, but if they sit for just 1 second and think about it, it make a whole lot of sense. And I don't try to hurt nobody. Nothing I say I want to hurt anybody. I've done enough of that. I just know for a fact that, you know, until somebody... Lou, I ain't never stopped doing nothing when I was a kid unless I got a whooping. You?
That's right.
Yeah. You show me I'm supposed to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop me.
Yeah, you push the bar. You push the
bar. Yeah.
As far as you push it.
That's right. Yeah. And that's all these kids are doing. That's all these young people in the street are doing.
But like you said earlier, we have to change the mindset, a paradigm shift, or anything something like that, to push in another direction. Push just as hard, but in another direction.
Hey, Lou, I ain't trying to throw John under the bus, right?
Oh, God, here we go again.
John living out there in Florida. John was living in a $3 million house.
Jesus Christ.
Why him, John? Look, his wife, a big shot lawyer. They wouldn't even come and get me out on a traffic violation. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. My point is John is an excellent example of somebody to come out of the hood, man, make something and do something with his life. You know? That deal with
man.
People. Yeah.
We had a show about that, and we were saying how there are so many brothers who do come out but don't come back and show. no love.
Well, you
no,
can't
no,
come back. No, John,
no,
come
back. No, I was, no, I know, I know you do, and I'm saying that's why it's good to have someone that does come back. But there are a lot of ones that once they get behind, you know what I mean, the gated community, you know what I mean, they just want to stay behind the gate, you know what I mean?
John's
you know, concerned about the hood.
Yeah.
Every time I go back to Trenton, I ride past 13 Fowler Street to remember and keep myself in perspective on the things I've done. I don't talk about them. I leave that to the center for
you know I ain't got no problem talking about it.
But it's things that I do. Actually, I do it to prove, well, one, to myself, first of all. But also do it to prove to people that you can do it, too. Not to say, hey, look what I've done. Because you don't know, if you did, if, oh, sorry, if Jennifer didn't say anything, you guys wouldn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like telling, you know, but I don't keep those things secret, John. You know why? Because it's hope, man. That's hope.
Yeah.
Now, it's different if you run around blowing your horn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a little bit different.
That. I understand. And I said, I appreciate you saying that. But it's like me. I'm not going to put it out there or anything like that because, you know, this is what I do on a daily basis. You know, I sleep. But nobody knows I sleep like 3 hours a day. You know, and
even though when he got back from Florida, since you know I tell everything, he was supposed to call me. I ain't heard from him since.
What?
But that's on something else. That's something else. Never mind.
Oh,
you
talking about when
talk
I got back
that.
From Jamaica?
No, we'll talk about that. Yeah, Jamaica. We'll talk about that. When you was taking the pictures with Mickey Mouse and all that, I'll call you when I get home. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. But that's
you know
another
something
show.
For two?
What's that?
You know a lot of these young brothers that's in the city, not just Trenton, but this in urban communities, have never left that city.
Yeah.
Like,
that
never
John
been
and I
anywhere.
Think we talk about that
yeah.
all the time.
Talk about all the time.
They've never seen any other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, nothing greater. Like, and I was saying, it's something in the Bible, like, well, I'm paraphrasing, where if you've always been in a pit, that pit will be your palace until you actually seen a palace. Until you go to one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the... I'm going to tell you, man. I just told a young brother the other day, man. This world is so much bigger than Trenton. And you're only thinking from Trenton. If you get someone go somewhere else and can think a different thought, it can change your life big time.
I'll tell you, I share this with people all the time. When I left Trenton, man, I was busted. I mean, I was towed up from the flow up. You know what I mean? I had one bag on my back. I was trying to get out of that town, man. And I remember leaving, and people were calling me a thug and cocaine head and, you know, crackhead. But they wouldn't say it to me. They, you know, they would say it behind their back. And I left about... Went to New York and people was like, yo, what's up, dude? I figured out my whole life changed, stopped doing things. When I moved to Atlanta, I remember getting off the bus, and guess what a guy said to me, Jermaine? Sir, can I help you with that?
Oh, wow.
Like, who are you talking
sir.
About?
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I start walk down the street. They said, Mr., can you tell me? I'm like, where am I? I like this place. You know what I mean? And so what it does is it makes you live a certain way. Listen, even your Bible tells you that you'll never be successful in your hometown. Very rarely will you be successful in your hometown.
See, that's what Jesus said. I can't do miracles here or something.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And look at Abraham. Look, God told him, look, man, get out of here. Get away from your family. Don't take none of them Negroes with you. Go. Because you're going to take them. And he took Lot with him, and they ended up fighting over something. Because you got to get away. Because you have to develop. You know, I bet you if John would have stayed on Fowler Street, he probably would have been cooking at Ulabala's.
On Fowler Street? I lived on Fowler Street when I was young.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, I remember Mom Doley's store on the corner across from the Carver Y?
Yeah, the one on the corner of Bellevue and
You can have them sweet potato pies up in there.
Yeah.
Right, I lived right on top of there, and then I lived on the other end of Fowler Street.
I had that apartment.
Closer down there by Frank's, store.
The one that's on Spring and
Spring Street,
Willow.
Yeah. John, yeah.
That was my hood. I mean, literally.
John, about 7'12".
No.
No.
I'm not the same size as you. I ain't as heavy as you.
Oh, now you call it fat jokes now, right? Okay. Well, hey, look,
John, that's
a blessing because I remember a time. I used to pull my pants leg, straight leg jeans, all the way up past my thigh.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. I was homeless, man. John, I tell you, I done been through all phases that a man can be through. That's why you can't tell me. That's why a man can't sit here and tell me that he can't. And ain't no hope. And don't nobody like. Listen, let me share this story, right? I was so messed up and strung out one time, right? My family said, you can't come to my house. Not because I was still. They just hated to see me messed up, right? It was the dead of winter. And it was like December, and my sister used to live on West State, right by West State and Calhoun. And I remember one day going to her house. It was cold. I had been running for like 2 days, man. I had this little windbreaker jacket on. It was freezing. It started raining, and it had just snowed, like a 2 feet of snow. And then what happened was I got cold because it started raining, and I went to go, and I knocked on her door. She said, you can't come here. My mother lived down the street. I knocked on her door. She said, you can't come in here. You're going to have to go back where you was. And then I didn't have anybody's house that I could go to, so I went back to my sister's house where she lived in a apartment building on West State Street. And down up under the building was a little, like, the basement door. And I remember standing there because it was raining, and I was freezing, crying, saying, God, what am I going to do? It was like 12:30 at night, like 25 degrees, and I remember leaning on that door, and the door popped it open, and I was in the basement, right? And I turned the light on and covered the window up and pushed the door back and found a mattress. An old dirty mattress, man, and I pulled the mattress by the furnace, and I slept down there. That was my apartment, and people didn't know that. She didn't know it, right? But somebody saw me going in and out of there for about a week, and so one night it was the same kind of weather, and I went down there, and the landlord had put a steel door down there. I couldn't get in. And when I came back from up under there, I looked up in her window, and she was sitting there and closed her curtain. Because she saw me. She was crying. And I started walking, soaking wet. And my brother, when I got down the other end of West State Street, just walking because I ain't had nowhere to go, went to the rescue mission. I was too late. They wouldn't let me in. And my brother picked me up and took me to his house. And that was the last night that I spent homeless. That was the night that I said my life had to change. He took me to his house and he said, hey, man, listen, you got to get it together, man. And so I said, okay. And I got up that next morning and I went to American Standard and I took a job. And I made I got a check for $180. And I remember telling him, hey, man, give me a ride to Philly. I want to go to Philly. He was like, for what? I said, some people over there, I'm going to a meeting, an NA meeting. He said, okay. And he drove me to Philly. When he pulled off, I took that $80 and went into the Greyhound bus station, jumped on a bus, and came to Atlanta. And I never left. I ain't know a soul here. When I got here, I went to a shelter. I stayed there for 2 weeks, man, sleeping with a bunch of bums who I thought was bums. They was worse than the ones that I saw in Trenton. You know what I'm saying? And then I found a job taking care of some man, this little white guy, changing his diaper. He had MS, so every morning I'd come there, change his diapers, clean him up, cook for him, and the guy said, well, you can stay here, and I stayed there. And I met my wife, and we've been together ever since. And so there's a reality. No, it ain't no big success story, but I survived. You know what I'm saying? And that's
a big success story.
It is a big success.
Yeah, so I survived. I've been married 15 years. I got a daughter. I got, man, my house, anything that I want. I'm sitting in my office on the second floor of my house. You know what I'm saying? So life does change, man. People can survive. It's not a matter of you know, I ain't rich. Matter of fact, John, let me hold something. You know what I mean? Because the point that Jermaine, you made it, you asked a question, and you said, are we going to teach the brothers how, or are we going to share with them that it's okay to be married? You know what the misconception of black family is that you have to be rich in order to have a family, or you have to be financially secure. Guess what, man? You don't need a whole bunch of... Hey, John, what could you do with a bag of beans and three chicken breasts and some rice? How many people... Right. Some people go eat, ain't they?
Yeah, they're going to eat.
Yeah.
No, I do that as a joke. Honestly, I do that as a joke with some friends. That's like, oh, you coming over to cook? I don't have anything in the refrigerator. So what you got? I can make some for you. And
yeah.
I'm just a chef. He said, I'm never
going to
go hungry.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so, you know, when we grow up, man, when we teach in family values, Jermaine, you said you got five kids. You know how I do when it get tight?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you've been there before.
Come on, man. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. My thing is like this. And me, I'm a constant fighter. I keep pressing. I don't let my emotions keep me in prison. I press beyond the emotions, man.
That's right.
Make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Emotions lead you to destruction. You know what I mean?
That's right.
If you let it overtake you.
That's right. I tell you, my wife, one day you guys get to talk to my wife. She'll tell you, in growing up sometime, man, in our relationship, and I call it growing up because you do mature in your marriage and in your relationships at home. Like Lou said, that when the little boys stand up, when the man forces the little boy and himself to sit down, he don't stand up knowing how to be a man.
Uh-huh.
He grows into that, you know. And there's times in my relationship, there's times in our marriage where things have been tight, man. You know, 15 years, we've been through some rough times, man. And I would have some food, and I cook. I see food in the refrigerator. She'll tell you, I see out a month. I know what's in the freezer. I know what's in the refrigerator. I know what's in the deep freezer and I keep it stocked for, like, but at any rate, there were times where she would say, babe, you going to eat? No. She said, you ain't eat today. I said, I ain't hungry. I be lying. Next day, she said, you going to eat? No, y'all go ahead. I'm good. Because I counted the meals. And my thing was, how could I sit down and eat knowing I was taking a meal from these kids 3 days from now? And I didn't see any income. And so I turned my hustle on. In order for me to eat, I got to go earn my keep.
Yeah. You was doing some serious cattle, bro.
No. I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. If I got two chickens in the house and there's four people, and I know everybody sit down and they'll eat two pieces of chicken, your kids should never know they hungry. They should never know there's something ain't nothing to eat.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that it's two chickens. I know those two chickens ain't going to last me but 2-3 days.
Uh-huh.
If I put them in the oven and I bake them, they're going to last me 2-3 days. I might be able to make a chicken sandwich or a chicken salad, but they're going to eat that bird. And then,
I'm least. If that's the case, I'm at least going to drain some of that juice off and drink some of that.
Oh, wow.
He's like, go sit down, Ray Ray. You ate yesterday. I'm eating this today. You ate yesterday. Go sit a little behind there. I feel you, Jermaine.
Yeah, you want to know the secret? That juice that you drain off from the chicken? You put it in a pot and put spaghetti in it. You got chicken noodle soup.
See that?
We got to make it happen. Cause listen, I gotta stay strengthened too. Cause I gotta go out there and get it.
Yeah, But that's why we got to stay on top. That's why I count men.
Yeah.
See, I learned to count them. I go look in the refrigerator. I go see if this is low. I need to go shop. My wife said, why are you going to the grocery store? Because the deep freezer is getting low. She said, yeah, but the refrigerator is packed.
Oh, yeah. It's about the foundation, that deep freezer.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
you know,
I got
going to the farmer's market every day, learning how to eat healthy, learning how to be healthy. You know what I'm saying? These are all things to teach, you know, building black back, man. We got to teach ourselves how to eat healthy, how to live healthy, how to think healthy. You know,
wow.
It's okay to be in love with your wife, and it's okay to love your children. My daughter come home one time, every day she comes in the house, you know what her first question is to me? Hi, Daddy, how was your day?
You know
what,
John? Before
what's that?
John, before you,
yes.
One of these days, if you ever call back in on Dirty Church Radio, man, we would love for you to actually give some good food, things to eat for the body. You know what I'm saying? Like for different people. Yeah, good nourishment, man. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Different meals that are good to cook for your family. Good things to eat, man. And I believe, and I look at that. That's a way of giving back. That's a way of giving us, giving something. You know what I'm saying? And I believe this platform, I want it used for those type of things, man. And it only take a few minutes to do that. A meal, what's a good meal to cook? Anything, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well,
well,
man, everybody eating that
cheese, you know,
steaks
like
every day.
Yeah, like the Crisco and, you know, salted butter and that lovely girl with that yellow, that blue umbrella with the yellow boots. Stay away from that garbage. Stay away. If you want to use salt, use kosher salt. Or even better yet, but it's expensive, sea salt.
Yeah, that's what I use.
You know, it's a different. It'll give it a different one. It'll give it a different taste. And also it's the way you cook it. We as black people, because of we talked about black history earlier. In culinary, you study food history, and the reason that all of our food is so greasy and fried in heavy oils and stuff like that, because that's what we had to do, because we were given scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Look, so to get the nasty taste out, we deep fried it. To get the nasty taste out, we deep fried it. You know, I mean, what I do is pretty much French culinary. And I can get down, like, you know, I can do some ham hocks and stuff like that. But that's what I learned from my great-grandmother. But what I do now, you know, is what they call nouveau cuisine. And it's pretty much a French derivative, a new French derivative. So, and I know I can go on and on about stuff, and you guys are... because of the terms you don't know, but I can actually, if I sit down and think about it, I can just put it in regular terms.
Now, here, and I'll share this with you. John is the, John, how many chefs you got under you, John?
Oh, what, when I do the tournaments?
Yes.
Man. Well, actually, when we do Sony Ericsson, it's six executive chefs, and I'm one of the six.
And how many?
We have 30 to 40 under each chef.
Okay, now, so he got, now here this cat is, right? This is what he does.
I sit around and point fingers.
No, we talk. Now, he forgets.
I know.
He forgets. His whole, John works, like, if you get to know him, his mind works real fast, and he talks real fast, and then he forgets that he ain't in the board meeting, and that he'll start... talking about stuff for 10 minutes, and I'll be like, man, what'd you just say? So I don't even want to talk to you right now because you're trying to make me feel funny. You know what I'm saying? No, but you trying to make me feel like I'm stupid or something. I didn't tell you, time out, player. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
That thing is no such thing as stupid because you don't know the subject. If you knew the subject.
Yeah, so why are you talking to people who don't know nothing about food?
That's why I stopped.
All the man asked you was what's good to cook.
No, and that's the thing about becoming a professional and doing what you're doing. And that's another thing that we can point towards. Like you said earlier, they're professionals.
Yeah.
They
know
it.
You know, and
he knows his stuff.
You know, they know this. They're professionals.
Yeah, they're good at what they do.
They're talking on their level to you, just like I'm talking on my level to you. They're professionals.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I hope I made sense. Did I make sense, Jermaine? Did you understand where I was today? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Listen, man. I understood where everyone was coming from. I think this was a very effective night on the show, man. I think it was very effective because it was real, it was sincere, it was heartfelt, it's serious, it ain't no joke. Come on, man. And I believe it ain't no joke at all. And I believe, yo, it's bringing, it's going to bring accountability, man. You know what I mean? It's time to step it up, man. Well, plain and simple, it's time to step it up.
Yeah, look, I gotta run, man.
Me too.
I love y'all, man.
I gotta get my 3 hours, man.
Listen, man.
And I'll give
you
guys
a
call. Yes.
Be blessed, man. To the next
John, I'll give you a call tomorrow, all right? Or will you be up in a few hours?
Yeah, I know. I'll be up in a few hours. But I got a few things to do tomorrow because I got something coming up to prepare for that board meeting on Saturday. So I'm going to have 2 phone calls that I got to
that's
be on.
That's fine. If I see you out there, I'll hit you up. If I don't, call me. All right?
Okay. All right.
All right. Later.
Love you, man. Talk to you later.
Yep.
Good night, John.